Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Thank you very much. I will arise and go now, and go to Innisfree, and a small cabin built there of clay and wattles made. 9 bean rows will I have there, and a hive for the honeybee, and live alone in the bee-loud glade. And I shall have some peace there, for peace comes dropping slow, dropping from the veils of the morning to where the cricket sings. There, midnight's all a glimmer, and noon a purple glow, and evening full of the linnet's wings. I will arise and go now, for always, night and day, I hear lake water lapping with low sounds by the shore. While I stand on the roadway or on the pavement's gray, I hear it in the deep heart's core. That's called Lake Isle of Innisfree, and although he's talking about W.B. Yeats writing what over 100 years ago, although he's talking about this beautiful island in the middle of a lake in Ireland itself, he's really talking about that inner place of peace, I believe, right? So even if he's on the pavement or on the roadways, he's remembering that there is within him, in the deep heart's core, that peacefulness. And that's what the song teaches as well. You know, the more we travel, the less we understand. And it doesn't necessarily mean physical travel. It means the more we're searching around trying to find peace out there, well, the less we find it, right? We must find it within ourselves. That song actually is an interesting story to that song because somebody sent a part of the Tao Te Ching to George Harrison back in the mid-60s and said, would you set this to music? I think it was chapter 57 of the Tao. And he said, okay, I'll try it. And he came up with that song. And it's a perfect translation. It uses the exact words from the Tao in that song. But it's talking about the same idea that we are capturing an inner space. That's why we call the sermon today, what is it? Peaceful glow, right? Because it's the glow of after the Christmas time, after Christmas Day. It's an interesting time of the year, isn't it? It's like we've been through Christmas, but we're not quite into the new year, you know? So it's like, what do we do now, you know? The job has been done. The baby is born. Our job has been done. The food has been eaten. The presents have been shared, so now it's time to, what, you know? And I think it's a time to go interior, to go into our inner space, and to lie fallow for a while before we come forth again into the new year. So we're given that gift of doing that, and to contemplate, well, what did happen? What has happened with the birth of the Christ, and how does that impact me? How am I going to let that Christ presence be born in me once again? Before we spring into all those things that Adrian talked about, you know, the vision board on New Year's and then the burning bowl ceremony, one of my favorite ceremonies because we always have a lot of power with that. And then we kind of seal it again with the white stone where we write on a stone the affirmation or the word that is our key word for the year. On Christmas Eve, I quoted the shepherds hearing the angels, where the angels said, glory to God, I bring you great news, the coming of the Christ, right? And I said, you're not going to find that good news on Fox or CNN or BBC. And guess what? 24 hours later, Unity Church of Fort Worth was on Fox TV News. See, I shouldn't have said anything, should I? Talk about boomerang karma, right? What goes around comes around. But I was correct because we weren't on the news for the reasons of, wow, what an awesome church, one of the best churches in Fort Worth. No, we were on the news because some cars got broken into, you know, I think it was 7 cars got damaged by some vandals looking for stuff, and it ended up on the news. They did say, though, that we were inside focusing on peace and understanding, and I thought, yes, thank you, that's good. That's good, got that bit right. Meanwhile, outside, all these things were happening. They interviewed a couple of our congregants. You know, one had lost $300, I think, because he'd left his wallet in the glove compartment. So we sent our blessings to him at this time. But another one of our congregants said, listen, I know I was upset that they took my daughter's presents, but I got to feel empathy towards them because, you know, if your consciousness is there doing that sort of thing, then I send you love. And I thought that's wonderful too, because, you know, it's not just about cursing these people. It's about being annoyed at them, maybe, but not letting them overwhelm us, right? If the message changes in our consciousness because the world doesn't conform to what we would like, then we got a problem, right? Because we are not about changing our consciousness because of something out there. We are influencing out there by our consciousness in here, yes? And that's that interior presence, coming faithfully to that place, to go to the Lake Isle of Innisfree. You know, Innis means island in Irish, so it's the island of freedom. And that's what we're each given by God, right? We're given an island of freedom, a space within that inner light where we feel deep inner peace and possibility. On Christmas Eve, I read from Luke. And right now, I want to read from Matthew, because each one is bringing a different version of the birth story, right? Luke was very ecumenical. He wanted he was really about women and the ordinary and the poor. He really wanted to bring the good news to those folks. And there's more women and more interesting women in Luke than there is in any other gospel. You know, they're given a lot of power. That's why I love that gospel. Matthew was more intent upon bringing the news to the Jews and making the Jews sort of, it's our child. So he has the Magi coming all the way from Persia to show how great the Jews are. So he had a different intent. But metaphysically, right, the shepherds are very the ordinary people. The Magi are kind of the exalted, exotic kind, the advanced people. But what's the message? That the Christ presence, the birth comes to all people, right? But it only comes to all people if you are centered in the truth of being open-hearted and open-minded to receive it, right? If you're closed off or if you have other agendas, it's going to be received poorly. So hence this reading. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judea during the reign of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east, and we've come to honor him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. So who is this Herod person? We know he's a king. What does he represent for us? Mr. Nasty, that's what he represents for us. Mr. The ego, out of control ego, right? Wants power in and of himself. We see it played out in the world, don't we? People who want to take power, right? Now, why is Jerusalem troubled alongside him? Have you ever noticed that when somebody in power says one thing, a bunch of people all follow and agree, you know? Especially demagogues that get up and say, this is the way it is. Then it sounds like people are going to agree with him, you know. So once somebody's troubled, then I'm troubled too. Have I thought about it? No. I'm just reacting, right? I'm reacting. So everybody reacted. Because probably most of the people in Jerusalem didn't feel that way. They just felt coerced by King Herod. He gathered all the chief priests and the legal experts. He had a whole legal team. Legal experts, and asked them where the Christ was to be born. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote. You, Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means are you least among the rulers of Judah, because from you will come one who governs, who will be shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and found out from them the time when the star had first appeared. There's an interesting word, isn't it? Secretly. Why secretly? What's he got to fear there? What's the underlying subtext there that he would ask them to come secretly? Is spirit kept secret true spirit? It's not, is it? It's open, right? It's open for everyone. When it's kept secret, there's something to hide. There's something that we want. There's an ulterior motive that we have. And what happens to secrets when they start to fester? It's very hard to hold a secret. Usually you tell a secret to just a few other people, and then it creates a rumor, doesn't it? And then a rumor creates a misunderstanding that leads to a fight. And then we all dislike the person that we heard the rumor about. whether it's true or not. See, that's what happens with secrets, right? It's not healthy, is it? We have to be open-hearted and open-minded. There's nothing to hide here, is there? Just let it out, yes?
Advertising genocide
is very unpopular. There we go. Yeah. So we masquerade it as something else, yeah? We put a white hat on and say we're doing it, you know, for good reasons, whatever. And we got to know it's not about out there. It's all about in here. It's when we keep secrets, right, from ourselves often, that we're the last person to know, right, about stuff that's going on because it's so well kept secret there for us. I don't want to look at it. How many people have got secrets that go back to early childhood? I mean, I do. And they kind of come out, they peek out sometimes, but I make sure they go back in a nice little hole, you know. So then Herod secretly found out. He sent them to Bethlehem saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you found him, report to me so that I too may go and honor him." Oh, yeah, there. Sure you will. When they heard the king, they went and looked. The star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. Falling to their knees, they honored him. Then they opened their treasure chest and presented him with the gifts of, we all know this, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another route. Stars, angels, dreams. What do they represent for us then? What are these things? Higher thought, intuition. A star is above and beyond us, right? It's got that larger perspective. A dream is something that comes to us subconsciously, yes? Portents, new information, intuitive understanding, right? Trust these things, right? Don't trust the world. Trust that inner recognition. It comes in numerous ways. If you've got a special place somewhere in your house, maybe in the garden where you go and you feel peaceful, yeah? And that's the sort of thing we're talking about. It doesn't have to be, well, I'm waiting for my star to appear. It never seems to appear. Where's my star? It doesn't have to be a star. It has to be a place where you feel connected to something centered and peaceful within you, right? There may be a little place in your garden under a tree where you just go and you feel, I've got a nice seat in my home where I go and I relax and I feel good. Might go to my altar and be there. Somewhere where we're reminded of the truth of our being, yeah? It's important to develop the discipline of that. Because if we don't develop the discipline, we're going to be distracted and we're going to be influenced by other people's troubles, right? And once you're influenced by other people's troubles, there's no end to it. When the Magi departed, an angel from the Lord appeared to Joseph. There's an angel, there we go, there's another one, to Joseph in a dream. He said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod will soon search for the child in order to kill him." Joseph got up and during the night took the child and his mother to Egypt. He stayed there until Herod died. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I have called my son out of Egypt." In other words, when we get guidance to go through a safe place, we go there, right? We don't act foolishly. It's like the sign on the street. It says, if there's water on the street, turn around, don't drown. And so they put that in places where it's never going to be water on the street. But never mind, that's beside the case. But, you know, if we are stupid to keep driving, aren't we? And we see these folks sometimes, they're covered in water. Their car is, you know, it's up to there, up to the windshield. But they thought, no, this is not a problem. I can get through this. Well, they did not use their common sense. They didn't use their guidance. They thought they were above and beyond that, right? So we have to listen to our guidance. In this case, the guidance was, get out of there. He's not nice. He's Mr. Nasty. He wants to destroy. He doesn't want to help you. They stayed in Egypt until Herod died, until that particular working of stupidity had blown itself out and died. So now you can go back, right? If you ever had this in your life, you stay in a quiet place until everything's calm again, right? Until you find your right mind again. Because as long as the crazy mind is alive, it's going to lead you astray. So you have to spend time in sanity. That's what we call the service on Christmas Eve, true sanity. Because this message of the Christ is true sanity, folks, in a crazy world. Yeah. Meanwhile, though, when Herod knew the Magi had fooled him, he grew very angry. Because we all do, don't we? We don't like to be fooled. He sent soldiers to kill all the male children in Bethlehem and in all the surrounding territory who were 2 years old and younger, according to the time that he had learned from the Magi. This fulfilled the word spoken through Jeremiah the prophet. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and much grieving. Rachel weeping for her children, and she did not want to be comforted because they were no more. Horrible massacre, you know, not just the newborns. He killed everybody up to 2 years old, right, just to make sure that there was no Jesus. Of course, he got it wrong, luckily, but nothing changes. There's massacres today, aren't there? It's the same story. How are we going to change our consciousness? Are we going to react to the horror? Are we going to say that the world is going to hell in a handbasket? Are we going to the Lake Isle of Innisfree? Are we going to go to that freedom that only Spirit can provide, right? Because that's what makes a real difference, doesn't it? If I'm confused by the confusers, it's all over, right? But there is part in me that is unassailable. It is the Spirit, and it's in each of us, yes? And it is victory over all this apparent nonsense. Last few months, we've been working on the third principle quite a bit. This week, I've got the second principle in there. And if you look in your bulletin, you'll find it. And the second principle is very apropos at this time of year because it's all about the divinity within us. Let me read it. It says, human beings have divinity within them. Do you see it there? It's almost to the bottom of the page on the left. Human beings have divinity within them, the Christ Spirit. Their very essence is of God, and therefore they are also inherently good. Wow, what a wonderful statement. There's only one thing wrong with it. What's missing? I. We need to turn it into I and me, right? Because we want to claim it. It's not just a nice idea. It is our idea to claim. So let's change it to the I. I have divinity within me. The Christ Spirit, my very essence is of God, and therefore I am also inherently good. Will you join me in affirming that? Because when you affirm this, what are you doing? You're sending that message, that beautiful centeredness, down into every part of your being, right? You're sending it down into your body, your emotions, your subconscious. You're realigning with the truth of your being. Instead of being confused by the confusers, you are affirming your spiritual truth today. So let's do this together. I have divinity within me, the Christ Spirit. My very essence is of God, and therefore I am also inherently good. See, I'm not going to become inherently bad because bad things happen, right? I'm remaining good. I'm remaining my true self, no matter what. It's easy to be thrown off, isn't it? Does anybody know their own... Here's a question. Does anybody know their own mind? Please say no, because none of us do. None of us know our own minds, you know, because the mind is a very tricky thing. It's a real trickster, and it has so many moods, tendencies. It's different on every given day. It could change in a heartbeat, right? And it's not something we get our head around, if you like. Our mind is just craziness. And so if we think we got control over it, forget about it, right? We have to go to the place where we can find our centeredness, that is in spirit. And when we center in that, then we learn to align our mind and our body and our emotions with that without trying to control it, because I've been trying to control my mind for years, and it's just not going to happen, you know. Like I said, there's stuff from childhood that's in there. You think, where did that come from, you know? But it's going to be with us forever. And lucky, though, The spirit within us trumps all those tendencies, yes? It's greater than, so it gives us power over it. Another question, what has changed since 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born the first time? Is it better or worse, do you think? You know, it seems like craziness, doesn't it? It seems like we're still in the same mess we always have been in, and maybe that's true. There's still massacres just as there was back then. But, you know, according to the statisticians that do these things, the sociologists and the economic advisors and all that, they say that the world in general is better, you know, better off. There's actually less war than there used to be. There's greater ability to get goods to people. There's a global economy. Education is better throughout the world. And, you know, even though we may say, oh, my goodness, it's not as good as it might be, it's certainly better than it was 500 years ago. So things are better, yes? We're not going to hear that again, dare I say it, on Fox News or CNN. You go, oh, whoa, something's going to happen. By the way, we decided that just to keep ourselves safe, we're going to have a volunteer walk around the campus during services and special services. So that's already happened. We've had some people walking around today, and we're going to set up a team to look at how to do this ongoing, because it's something we need to just be cognizant of, and just having a presence out there. You know, if somebody's showing up, they're not going to stay around if they see we're looking at them. So we're putting that into place. So I think that's a sane thing to do right now. And we thank those people. Peyton Fletcher actually did it at 9:30, and Monty Wilson's doing it right now, isn't he? And Rodney Huddleston did it last night for the meeting we had. So we'll keep that going now and make sure that we're all safe. I think that's important. I'm going to refer you to the team we're setting up, because I can't get into all that now, but we are going to address it and look at all the options. So if you do have a question, initially talk to Peyton, because he's willing to be the point person on this team. I know. Yeah. It happens. We can't drill down into all those details right now, okay? I appreciate it, but we will address it. Yeah. So let's return to this peaceful glow, shall we, for a moment, right? Peaceful glow. We're nothing. We know this is the lovely My Little Pony world, whatever. What? You know. Interesting balance, isn't it? You know, we are called to be in the world, but not of it, right? That's Jesus's way of balancing. So we're aware that these things happen and that life is problematic, but we're not saying that is the ultimate reality, right? That there is a greater reality, and we live that greater reality when we come home to spirit. And the good news about coming home to spirit, it gives us the energy and the ability, the capability to live life from a higher perspective, right? From a star consciousness, if you like, from being aware there are angelic presences, those wisdom mind that sit within us that will guide us faithfully to a higher way. So that's what we're talking about. We're putting on that Christ spirit. Showers of blessings. There we go. And so in line with showers of blessings, I want us to use, just to end this time, my personal favorite affirmation that Charles Fillmore wrote over probably 120 years ago now. And it works in every circumstance for me. And it's this: I am centered and poised in the Christ spirit, and nothing — it's not on the bulletin, so we have to remember it. I am centered and poised in the Christ spirit. Nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul. See, that's the promise. When we are centered and poised in the Christ spirit, it is that Lake Isle of Innisfree, of free spirit, of that inner light. When I'm centered in that, it trumps everything else. Nothing has the power to disturb me, because that power of the Christ is greater than any power in the world. We know it works, yeah? We've seen it happen in our lives. I've got many examples of people in our congregation who have come to that recognition and overcome illness, overcome distraught consciousness, overcome lack, and have come back to this place of possibility, right? So we know it works. It works in my life, and I know it works when we practice it. So this is it. I am centered and poised in the Christ Spirit. Let's take that one first. And again, send that message to every part of your being that you are now centered and poised. I am centered and poised in the Christ Spirit. Together, I am centered and poised in the Christ Spirit. Nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul. Nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul. This is the truth. And we say thank you, God. Amen.
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you, divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.